Well, thank you, Tom and orchestra, for sharing with us this morning. That was a new song to me. I'd never seen Three Ships on Christmas morning before, so amen. Hey, good job. We've had some wonderful music during Christmas, and we'll continue with that tonight. You don't want to miss this International Children's Choir is going to share with us tonight. You are in for a treat when these kids sing tonight. So don't miss that. And then, of course, the following Sunday evening, Leo and friends will be sharing with us. I'm in a series of messages here around Christmas time as we share about renewal, revival, spiritual awakening. I believe it is the greatest need of the day. And so we've been talking about that. And this morning, we turn to faith. Faith. You understand that you cannot please God, according to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, Enoch walked with God and he pleased the Father. And then the next verse says that without faith it is impossible to please God. It's impossible for the church to walk in spiritual revival and renewal without walking by faith. The sin of unbelief is that doubts the very character of God. For if we do not believe God, we do not believe that God is a man of his word. God's made promises, and by faith we then latch on to those promises and we hold those promises. And if we fall into the sin of unbelief, we just simply have doubted whether God is a man of his word. Faith. I want us to think about faith. We're in Hebrews 12 in just a moment this morning, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. And thinking about faith, I want to remind you that there are three components to faith. Now, don't miss these. Number one, there's the intellectual side. You must know something to believe something. But knowledge is not faith. There's an intellectual component. The Bible says in James that even the devils believe, but we know they're not saved. So we must believe in our head. Secondly, there is an emotional component. An emotional component. We feel something. It moves us. When you walk by faith, some people cry. Some people shout. Some people shake. But there's an emotional component. But don't miss it. Simply feeling is not believing. There's an intellectual component. There is an emotional component. But thirdly, there is a volitional component, an action. James says that faith without works is dead. So we must do something. It's like a child being on the third floor of a building. That building is on fire. That child then looks out the window, sees a strong man. In that child's mind, while in that burning building looking out, thinks some things. He looks strong enough to catch me. Maybe. Secondly, that child has some emotion. I'm scared. Wow, I'm really relieved. Somebody wants to get me out of here. But that child will never escape simply thinking and feeling. What's that child got to do? Jump. That is the word. There must be volition. They've got to get out of where they are into the arms of that man. And there are some people sitting in this room today that your need this very moment is to jump. You know a lot of stuff. You felt a lot of things, but you've not taken action to move by faith. And the church will never have revival if it just knows about it, if it just feels about it, until it does something about it. She must jump. Now there's some things faith does that nothing else will do it. Let me give you just these six things very quickly before we look at this Hebrews 12 passage. There's six things that faith supplies in your life that nothing else will do it for you. Number one is in the area of salvation. Romans 5:1, we are justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, salvation comes by God's grace, but it comes through faith. You must believe and trust in the living God. There's some things that only faith will do, and one is salvation. Secondly is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You cannot know the fullness of the Holy Spirit without faith. Galatians 3:14 says it this way, we have received the promise of the Spirit through faith. You'll never walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost of God without faith. Thirdly, that faith supplies is victory over the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This is our victory, even our faith. Victory is found in this world through faith. Number four. The fourth thing I want you to see that faith supplies is victory over Satan himself. Galatians 6 and verse 16 says that we take up the shield of faith, wherewith we will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the wicked one. In Mark 11:24, we find the fifth thing that faith supplies, and that is answered prayer. That when you ask, believing, you shall receive, according to Mark 11 and verse 24. But I want you to listen, because I'm going to turn. I want you to mark this down. In John 6, verse 28, I want you to see this is what faith will do that nothing else will do. In John 6 and verse 28, where the Bible says, John 6, 28, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? You know, that's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to be working the works of God. And the disciples asked Jesus, how can we work the works of God? And Jesus answered in John 6 and 29 and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What's the work of God? Faith. Faith is the work of God. If we do not believe, we'll never work the works of God. That faith supplies is salvation, fullness of the Spirit, victory over the world, victory over Satan, answered prayer. But number six, faith supplies the ability to work the works of God. Don't you just get tired of religion with a few good works mixed in? Do you ever long for the fresh breath and power of God to come? Well, if you do, you're going to have to jump. And you've got to believe what God has said and stand on it no matter what comes against you. And if you will, by faith, claim those promises, I'm here to tell you, God will send renewal in your own life, and then others will catch it from you. The whole church will find it happening, and he may just touch a nation that is in desperate need this morning of the fresh touch of holy God. Well, I want you to pray for your pastor. I'm launching out, and I'm preparing. I'm asking the Pensacola News Journal if they will allow me after the first of the year to write a viewpoint on why marriage is between only a man and a woman. And somebody's got to speak to this issue. And so I'm asking them to allow me to do that. You say, well, Pastor, why would you? It's easier just to stay out of that fight. It's a lot easier just to back out and say, well, I don't want to get involved in any of that. And let me tell you, if you walk by faith, biblical faith, you'll wind up in trouble. Now, blessings come, yes, indeed, but I'm here to tell you, walk by faith, a biblical faith, and you'll find yourself in trouble from time to time. And now we've got the Supreme Court looking at the Defense of Marriage Act and whether or not states' rights can say that a man should only marry a woman. And now the Supreme Court is taking that, and sometime in March they'll hear the case, and this summer they'll come down. Well, I'm here to tell you, the court can vote all they want. You don't vote on what God's already said. God's already, and we've got to simply stand on the word of the living God. And we need to step out on it. You say, well, preacher, it'd just be easier if we stay out of it. Yeah, it'd be easier to stay out of it. But for my children's 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 children, you got to jump. You got to jump. There'll be people that leave this church over what I'll write in the paper. I hate losing anybody. I do. I just hate that. Have people from time to time just, well, you know, we've just felt led to go, well, okay, amen. I never like that. I never like that. I love people to love us. But there are some things you're going to have to take a stand by faith on and stand and let Jesus be your guardian. What we've got to do is develop revival faith, a deep, abiding revival faith. Well, how do we do that? Well, our text today shows us how we do it. And I've outlined it for you in four steps today out of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. So let's hear the word of the living God. How do we develop this kind of faith that will bring revival in our own life and the life of our church? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, now don't miss that word, because you got to go back and look at chapter 11. Therefore, what's it there for? It's there to tell you what chapter 11 was all about. Therefore, since we've got all of these people behind us, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How do we develop revival faith? You remember the man in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, he came to Jesus and his son was possessed of a demon. It made him mute. And he said to Jesus, help me and bring healing to my son. And then he said these words to Jesus, help my unbelief. This has been my prayer for our church today. Help our unbelief. Father, forgive us where we've been a doubting people, where we've committed the sin of unbelief, where we would find your promises and we know what they say, but we just won't stand on them. God, help my unbelief is the pastor. Help the unbelief of our new deacons. Help the unbelief of our Sunday school workers. Help the unbelief of our staff. Dear God, drive us to be a people that do not walk by sight, but walk by faith. And if we will believe God, I'm here to tell you, if you'll begin to believe God, God wants to bring revival worse than we want it. If we would but believe him and write a check on the deposit of God's truth that he's already made and get ready to cash it in this world. How do we develop this kind of faith? Well, there are four steps that I want you to see out of this text today. Number one, we must saturate our hearts and minds with the Word of God. If you want to have revival faith, saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. Therefore, he says, we have so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, therefore, what's he talking about? We'll go back to chapter 11. And the whole of chapter 11 is about faith. You remembered in chapter 11 in verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the substance of things
not seen. For by it, that is by faith, men of old gained approval. And then he begins to list them. Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. In verse number 7, by faith, Noah. In verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. In verse 11, by faith, even Sarah. And he walks all the way through all of these Old Testament and other people saying, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. We need to study the people of faith. If you would saturate yourself with the Word of God, I challenged you last week that you would take in large, long passages of the Word of God, that you'd spend more time reading the Word rather than just reading a verse or two, that you'd read chapter after chapter and let the Word of God soak in you and saturate you. And I'm telling you, when you begin to let the Word of God saturate your mind and your heart, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand it. Well, somebody does need to explain it. You say, well, I love it, and somebody does need to admire it. But let me tell you, above explaining the Bible and admiring the Bible, we just need to begin to believe the Bible. Act on the Word. Somebody needs to jump today. You know it. You feel it. You've just never done it. So some of you in that balcony, I'm going to encourage you to jump. Now, don't take me literally. Walk down these steps and come see me, all right? But I want you to take the leap of faith. I want you to jump. You know enough to get out. You feel enough to get with God. Now, jump. Jump. How in the world do you develop that kind of faith? You must saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. I've encouraged you to get a New Testament devotional beginning the first of the year, and we're going to read through the New Testament together and read those devotionals. It'd be great for some of you who've never read the whole Bible, and some of you never read the New Testament all the way through. Well, this year, just portion after portion, reading 6 days a week, reading the New Testament through and praying through the New Testament, be a great way. You could do it more than once as you read through in the year 2013. Take large portions of the Word of God and saturate your heart and mind and read about all of these Old Testament saints. I went back and did a little study on Enoch this week. I was seeing that in chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was found. He was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. What pleased God about Enoch? Well, Enoch believed God, and Enoch walked with God. What God wants you to do is walk with Him. And part of that walking is saturating your heart and mind with the Word of God. Number two, the second step after your saturation of your mind and of your soul with the Word of God. Secondly, repent of all known sin. Notice what he said in chapter 12 in verse 1. Let us lay aside every encumbrance or every weight and that sin that so easily entangles us. The King James says that sin that besets us. We are to get rid of that sin. Lay it aside. He's speaking of the runner here, the athlete that runs. Many of you saw last night Johnny Manziel win the Heisman Trophy. Well, last year, RG3 won the Heisman Trophy. And the thing that most people don't know about Robert Griffin III, when he came to Baylor University, both of these men are dynamic Christians, grateful to see these two young quarterbacks step up. Johnny Manziel last night on national television wearing that bracelet that he said he would not take off. People have asked him to take it off even for interviews, but he won't take it off. It's got Philippians on it, 4:13 on that bracelet. He said, I don't take it off for anybody. I'm wearing it because this person I'm praying for and believing God with them. Well, you may have seen RG3 last year. He's now playing for the Washington Redskins. He's a phenom. But what people don't understand about RG3 is when he came to Baylor University, he was not first a quarterback. He was first and foremost a track star. He ran the high hurdles. As a freshman, unheard of. He won the Big 12 Conference high hurdles. I mean, he left everybody else in the dirt. I'm amazed that you see these guys run. They almost run naked. I mean, they ain't got on much of nothing. They got on shoes that, you know, there's a light now. and shorts, if you could call them that. I mean, they just don't have on much. And the heaviest thing they got on their chest is the number they pinned to them. They hit that gun and man, they go. Now, wouldn't you like to run the high hurdles in your bathrobe? That's what he's talking about here. He said, if you're going to run with the race, you got to take off all this stuff that encumbers you and gets around your feet. And you got to lay that off like the runner runs. And you can run like the wind when the encumbrances are gone. Repent of every known sinful encumbrance. What is it today that stands between you and faith? I dare share with you that the greatest sin hindering the church today is the sin of unbelief. We simply won't believe God. There are other things that are in our lives. There's greed, envy, strife, malice, meanness, bad language, alcoholism. You've just got to take responsibility for who you are and lay aside the encumbrance. I posted this week, I was amazed when we saw last week a man beat his wife and then kill her, who's an NFL player, and then kill himself, that man with the Kansas City Chiefs. What a tragedy. Even greater than that was for Bob Costas to go on national television and say the problem was gun control. The problem was not gun control. The problem was there was no self-control. The man was responsible. Then just this weekend, a Dallas Cowboy NFL player gets drunk, commits manslaughter as he kills one of his fellow players who's with him because he's driving drunk, and I'm expecting Bob Costas to be on Monday Night Football asking us to take all of the cars off the road tomorrow night. For if it was a guns problem, now it's a car problem. If it's not a car problem, it must be an alcohol. No, no, no. It's a personal problem. It's you. It's me. It's the encumbrance of sin. Nobody wants to talk about the sin word. We're just wrong, and we need a redeemer, and we need forgiveness. We need redemption. And Jesus has come to do that. And if you would but embrace him, I'm here to tell you he'll forgive your sin. And if you're going to walk with him, you've got to lay aside the encumbrance of alcoholism. You've got to lay aside the encumbrance of beating your wife. You've got to lay aside the encumbrance of the misuse of firearms. You've got to lay aside you. You. And it's when you die to you that faith will begin to rise. Lay aside the income. How do we build and develop this faith? Saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. Number two, repent of all known sin. Every one of them that you know. Come and kneel. As I often say to people, they'll come and say, Pastor, I'm trying to repent. And I just don't know what to confess. I always say, well, just call it out. Guess, and you'll get close. You know what you need to deal with. And if you don't, the Spirit of God will put his finger on it and you confess that unto the Father. Thirdly, not only do we saturate our heart and mind with the Word of God, repent of all known sin. Thirdly, use the faith that you already have. He says, after you lay aside the encumbrance, then run with endurance the race that is before you. That you know to do now. Most people who want to live by faith, they'll tell me, you know, Pastor, if I could just see out there and when I get, you know, this taken care of, then I'm going to live by faith. You know, if I get this degree taken care of over at the University of West Florida, I get a job, then I'm going to. No, 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 friend. If you don't live by faith now, you'll not live for faith out there. You got to live by faith now so that, you see, you run the race that is before you. What do you do now? You do it. I talk to younger pastors. And they say, oh, I'd love to have a church like Olive. I say, well, go to New Lebanon. I said, what? I said, that's the first church I pastored. 44 in Sunday school, first Sunday we got there. Man sat on the front row and counted the offering every Sunday. After I'd preach, I'd take the offering, bring it down here, and he'd count all the bills and put in the offering plate. And Then on about point three, he poured all the change out of one metal plate into the other. Clang, 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 clang. Leonard Martin did that every Sunday. He's 6'6 and weighed about 250. 40 years before he did it, his daddy did it. And I finally asked Brother Leonard one day, I said, can you tell me why do you do that? He said, well, that's the way my daddy's already done. I said, well, can I ask a favor? I said, it kind of gets in my way. Would you mind if we, you know, maybe counted that after church or whatever? I said, you know, I mean, it's just 50 of us. It won't take us long. He looked at me. He said, Pastor, I will do anything my pastor asked me to do. Thank you for asking me if I can help worship. I want to help it. How can we do it better? I learned a great lesson that day. I really did. I learned a great lesson trying to help and deal with folks. And I have young preachers that'll say with me, you know, I'd love to pastor a church like Olive. I said, well, go to New Lebanon for a while. You'll learn some stuff out there you got to have before you get here. I'm just telling you, you've got to do that. You see, you don't run the race that you think about running out there someday. You run the race that's in front of you right now. So what's in front of you right now? You've got to run that race. Faith is belief with legs on it. That's an Adrian Rogers quote. Faith is simply believing with legs on it. You do what's in front of you. Now, 4 years ago, we began to talk with the association, Baptist Association here in Pensacola, and they have a medical clinic, and it's in a place. It's not a best place because there's no bus service that is out there, and yet out on Kim Strand it works, but it takes up a lot of room, and so we're doing a good ministry, but we just use more space. And I said, well, we've got the ministry village, we've got some acreage, we'll put it out there and we'll do that. And so for 3 years now, we've been working and looking and thinking somebody's going to pay for that and build it, because and it just didn't happen. And so finally, I just really got under conviction and prayed through, and I said, Lord, you want us to try to build that building? And I said, we got to either build it or forget it. And so now's the time to do that. So on Christmas Eve, we're going to take an offering. If you'll read the pastor's word on the front of the worship guide today, I love spell check. But sometimes it fixes what you don't want fixed. And so this week they spell checked us in my article. I did it right, and the people over there typing it up goofed up. And I said, we're going to bring $500,000 and put it in the manger, but it spelled manager. So we're going to put our offering in the manager, all right? We're going to let Jesus be the manager. And we're going to put it in the manger like we do on Christmas Eve. And I've asked it to, I just believe the plan would be we'd find 200 people to give $2,000. That'd get us to four, and then there's going to be some give more. I got a $10,000 check already this week, and some others that are coming in. I got a $500 check this week. I got some smaller, got some larger. But I was just praying that'd be a great place for 200 people to begin. And so that's what we're going to give. And so just by faith, and then we're going to take that offering and ask God to help us build that. And I had some guys in this week and said, now, Pastor, when do you want to start? If we get the money, when do you want to start? I said, January 3rd. They said, we were afraid you were going to say that. And they said, well, you know, there's all this stuff you got to jump through with the county. And I said, I don't know. I said, that's not my problem. That's your problem. I'm telling you, if I get money, I don't want somebody. I want you to start doing whatever it is you got to do on the third day of January. Because I want this out of my hair. I'm done with it. I'm just believing God. I want us to do it right now. It's time to do this. We've been waiting 3 years. And so I don't know if you're going to help me or not. If we don't have enough money, I'm going to give everybody's money back and we're going to forget it. It's just the way we're going to do it. Keeping a list of what people are giving. But I'm just believing God by faith we're going to get there. I believe we will. And we'll build it out. And Brother Ben Lynn is a, Miss Russo know him. He helped build Russo Hall. And Ben Lynn sent me word this week. He said, Pastor, I hear you're going to have a groundbreaking for the medical clinic after the 11 o'clock service at about 12:15, 12:30. And I said, that's right. He said, I've been going to that church for almost 50 years, and I have never missed a groundbreaking of any building we've ever had. And if somebody come get me and bring me down there, he can't come to church hardly anymore. He said, I want to be there for what may be my last groundbreaking at Olive Baptist Church. I said, I will send somebody to get you, and if I can't get a Mossback deacon to come get you, I'll come get you myself. All right? Amen. But I've already had people lining up to go get Brother Ben. I'm just believing God. That's a bunch of money, and it's a big project, but all I'm trying to do is believe with legs and run the race that's right. I'm not trying to run a race down the road. This is right in front of us, and so I'm just asking you to ask God what you should do. And if God tells you not to do anything, then don't do anything. If he tells you to give $2,000, give it. He tells you to give $25,000, give it. If he tells you to build the whole thing, we'll build something else. Amen. And I'll put your name on that and you want to build and we'll be done with it. All right? Amen and amen. Use the faith you already have. You're believing God for something. Run that race right in front of you. And then number four, after you saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God, you repent of all known sin, use the faith that you already have. Number four, in stepping toward developing this faith, revival faith, is you keep your eyes on Jesus. Notice what he said in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I mean, get Jesus in front of you and don't let him go. He's the author and perfecter of faith. You see, he'll start your faith and he'll perfect your faith. All you've got to do is find out what God tells you to do, then believe him for it, and it's up to God to bring it about. That's what faith is. Faith is counting as if it is so when it's not so, in order it might be so. Count as if it is so when it's not so, in order it might be so. That's what faith is. Jesus offers it. He tells you what is so, even when it's not so. And you believe him so it can be so. That's the author, and he is the perfecter of our faith. And he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, and he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of me and get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off your parents and get your eyes on Jesus. We got too many people eyes on the fiscal cliff and not on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off the Supreme Court and on the judge of all eternity. Get your eyes off of your circumstances and get your eyes on the promises of God. Get your eyes on the Word of God. Get your eyes on the Savior of the world. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on him. Know that he died for you on the cross and despised the shame, and for the joy he set down. Focus on Christ. There's a little car called, it's a Ford, I think, isn't it? Ford Focus. And my buddy Elijah Sorito from Romania, he always says, we must focus on the things of God. And so every time he sees one of those cars and we're driving, he say, we must focus. Monday night, Liz and I were out for dinner and we were driving out of the parking lot and Liz said, stop. I said, what? She said, let me have your phone. She got out of the car and she took a picture of the backside of a Ford Focus. She said, now I've done all I know to do. Now you take that picture and you send it to Elijah and you tell him to get with it. Isn't it an amazing world we sit in? I sat in a parking lot in downtown Pensacola. My wife, who is somewhat technologically challenged, though she is really doing better, took that picture and she looked at me and she said, now I've done all I can do. So now I hit two buttons and she says, is that not an amazing thing? We can take a picture with a phone, hit about three commands and send that picture instantaneously, a third of the way around the world, and someone get it, and before we get home, send me back a message. And I always like to send stuff to Elijah over after dinner because that wakes him up in Romania, because he keeps his phone on all the time. And, he sends me back a message. And then he left Romania and flew to to America, and he's preaching in Augusta, Georgia this morning. And yesterday, he called me on my phone, and I said, "Hey, Dr. Sorito, how are you doing?" And he got on the phone in his broken English. He said, "Focus, focus, focus. Fix your focus. Quit looking at all this other stuff. Get your eyes on Jesus." And I'm telling you, if you will ever get captivated by the vision of Christ, your faith will begin to develop and you'll begin to believe God, and Jesus will take you right where you need to go. Now, somebody sits in that balcony this morning and Jesus died for you. And this morning you said, "Pastor, I know he did, and I feel in my heart, but I've never taken action." You need to get out of your seat and walk right here and take me by hand and say, "Pastor, I'm coming today. I'm ready to jump, give my life to Christ." Some of you here, and you know in your mind Olive is the place for you. You felt like it'd be good. Some of you say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I joined that church, but it's just larger than any church I've ever been in, and I don't." Going to the mall this Christmas? It's a big place. You been to Walmart? Super Walmart? Big place. Doesn't bother you. You say, "Well, it's not church." You're correct. It's not church. Come sit on the fourth row, never turn around. You'll never know it's large. Just come. If God tells you to come and you feel like you ought to do it, then jump. Jump. You may feel more at home than you ever know. See Roger sitting back there, baptized today. I love him. Met him over here in the academy the other day. He came. He jumped today. Came forward. Said, "I want to trust Christ. Join a church." We baptized him today. Jump. Some of you need to jump. There's something some of you believe in God for about your family. You need to begin to trust God with the promises he's given. Amen. Some of you have never been a giver. You got to trust the promise of God that he'll provide for you and then begin to be a giver. Do that God's called you to do. Faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, but when you begin to believe, you can work the works of God. When faith develops in you. One somebody you, jump. Jump. Come on. Unto the Lord and unto faith.